نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القران المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد اعوذ بالله من السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولا يأتل أولو الفضل منكم والسعة أن يؤتوا أولي القربى والمساكين والمهاجرين في سبيل الله وليعفوا وليصفحوا ألا تحبون أن يغفر الله لكم والله غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم وصدق على رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable ulama, huffaz, respected and honorable brothers and elders, mothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First and foremost, we commence with the praises of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that Allah who is our soul sustainer, cherisher and nourisher. May Allah's choicest salutations, durood and salam continue to descend and flow upon our noble master and our leader, Nabi Pak Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Rabbi salli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibika khayril khalki kullihim. Respected friends and elders, ever since the Muslims and the companions, Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'een, had returned from the battle of Bani Mustaliq. The hypocrites and the munafiqeen, the evil elements in the society of Madinatul Munawwara, have been spreading lies, have been spreading allegations, have been spreading rumors against the mother of all believers, radiallahu anha, Aisha radiallahu anha. These lies and these stories and these rumors have become the topic of every discussion. It has become the topic of discussion in every household. Friends, we need to understand that this is nothing new. This is something which will happen till the day of Qiyamah. Against us, against yourself, against others, against Islam, against humanity at large. There will be always an element in society that will thrive on this. There will always be an element in society that will try to see the disunity of Islam and the disunity of Muslims. They will always be amongst those who are our enemies. Friends, we can never live our lives without having enemies. In fact, Allah Himself has enemies. Look at the atheists who don't believe in Allah. Look at those who ascribe partners to Allah. Look at those who worship false deities instead of Allah. And the list goes on and on and on. So enemies each and every one of us will have. We can never be immune from enemies. Even the prophets of Allah had enemies. Even the prophets of Allah had those who criticized them, and those who ridiculed them, those who mocked and those who jeered at them. In fact, Allah draws our attention to this in the Quran Kareem. When Allah says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيِّنَ عَدُوًّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ. Allah says, for every Nabi, there were enemies from amongst the sinners and from amongst the evildoers and amongst the alligators. So friends, this is a concept that will go on till time immemorial. Nevertheless, this topic of discussion is in every household. Though the Muslims in their heart of hearts are confident of the inner quiet. They are still silent on the matter. Waiting, waiting for this to be ascertained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself is quiet, waiting for Allah to inspire him towards that which is the truth. So what happens, friends? These hypocrites, these liars, these who thrive on rumors, led by their leader Abdullah bin Ubay bin Sulul, they have an advantage. They have an advantage over a seemingly confusion situation, over a seemingly confusing situation that has taken place in Madinatul Munawwara. Because up to now, these are allegations. These are rumors. And only one side of the story has been told. So people thrive on this. So they go for the kill, as we say. They go for the kill. Nevertheless, respected elders and brothers, unsuspectingly, this rampage of the hypocrites, unsuspectingly, this rampage of the munafiqeen leads to some of the Muslims also starting to doubt themselves. It leads some of the Muslims also to start believing these rumors, to start believing these allegations. And the greatest tragedy of this, and the greatest tragedy of this, is some Muslims even help to propagate it. Some Muslims even help to propagate these allegations and rumors. And from amongst these persons is one person by the name of Mistah bin Uthatha radiallahu anhu. Friends, you need to remain focused. This is an extremely important topic. This person by the name of Mistah bin Uthatha radiallahu anhu. Just to give you a gist about his life. He is the cousin, the first cousin of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Keep this in mind. He is the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Firstly, who is the allegations leveled against? Who is the allegations leveled against? It is leveled against the daughter of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It is leveled against the daughter of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Secondly. So firstly, he is the cousin. Secondly, he is attacking his very own cousin. Thirdly, and this is the point, he is an extremely poor person. He is an extremely poor person. And his very dependence, his very expenses, his very monthly expenses is given by none other than Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. That information has been digested. So we have these three scenarios in front of us. Extremely poor person. He happens to be the cousin of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And his monthly expenses is being seen by the very person that he is using to propagate these false rumors. Now friends, what happens? It creates another scenario in Medina. Because now his endorsement, his stamp on the matter gives further, it gives further reputation to the matter. Because himself, though being a poor person, he is generally a man of fine reputation in Medina. Now, because he has endorsed these allegations, because he has endorsed these rumors, so the munafiqeen are even happier. So, this causes even more people to doubt the situation. This causes even more people to start believing in these rumors and allegations. So it can no longer be said that these allegations are limited to the circle of the hypocrites only. Now, respected elders and brothers, a trying and a very difficult month, and a very depressing month, we will say, passes over the life of Nabiyya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A very gruesome month. Until Allah Himself reveals an entire ruku in proving the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha. Oh, the Muslims, they exhale a sigh of relief. They are all relieved that this matter is closed. That Hazrat Aisha, the mother of all believers, has been proven innocent by none other than Allah. By none other than Allah. Now what happens? Remember I told you that this guy's monthly allowance was given by the father of the daughter. So hurt, naturally friends, hurt by these allegations, hurt by these rumors, hurt by these lies, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu takes an oath and he swears that he will never ever spend a cent on Misbah radiallahu anhu again. The matter is closed. It's finished between me and him. It's over. Now friends, consider. Just think for a moment and ponder. Just think on the perspective of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Isn't this justifiable? Honestly, isn't this justifiable? Isn't it a normal, natural reaction of a father? That yes, this person, who wholly dependent on me, he goes around spreading and endorsing these wild rumors, these wild allegations. So how else could I react to this ironic situation? How else would you expect me, who is also a human, to react to this ironic situation? So he immediately stops the monthly allowance that he was giving to this person. Now, respected elders and brothers, comes the interesting part. And that is the lesson we need to take home. Allah reveals one of the most beautiful ayats in the Quran Kareem. Allah says, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّاعَةِ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Look how Allah says. Look what Allah planned. Allah says, let not those who are good. What an accolade for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Allah regarded him as good. The first Khalifa of Islam. So Allah says, let not those who are good and wealthy amongst the Muslims swear and take an oath that they will not help their friends, they will not help their kinsmen, they will not help the poor, and they will not help those who are in the cause of Allah. Then Allah says, why? Allah says, why, friends? Allah says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do they not love? Do they not wish that Allah must forgive them? So why should they not forgive and overlook the faults and the mistakes of others? Do they not wish that Allah must forgive them? Whose desire it is not that he must be forgiven in the court of Allah? Whose desire is it not that Allah must give him the certificate of forgiveness and happiness when he leaves this world? It is the very existence of the mercy and the forgiveness of Allah that me and you breathe the air that we breathe. It is the very existence of the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah that we are able to enjoy the favors and the bounties of Allah. So Allah says, أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ Do you not love to forgive those who have wronged you? Wallahu ghafoorun raheem. While Allah is most merciful and most forgiving. This, friends, is the mercy of the forgiveness that the Quran teaches us. This is what the Quran teaches us with regard to those that have caused us hurt and harm. Now let us think and ponder for a while. Let us think and ponder for a while what would be my situation. What would be my reaction in a situation like this? What would I do? Yes, someone whom I've helped. Someone who I've been good to in my life. Someone whom I paid his monthly expenses. Now in turn, when I'm going through some difficulty in my life, when I'm going through some hardship in my life, then what does this person do? Instead of telling the people of the good that I do to him, instead of informing the people of the 99 good that I have, he focuses on the mistake that I have made. He focuses on the wrong, and that's also an alleged wrong, a rumor, a lie. Respected elders and brothers, how else do you expect me to react to a situation like this? Respected elders and brothers, instead of being good to me, what he does, as we say, he stabs me in the back. I lived with him. I ate with him. I bonded with him. I created a friendship with him. He was my friend. He was my colleague. I worked with him. So what he does, he stabs me in the back. Now, respected elders and brothers, we need to understand that conflicts, as trivial as they might be, as great as they might be, will always arise in our life. Nobody is immune from a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nobody is immune from trials and tribulations in their life. But the question is, how are we supposed to react to these situations when we are faced in life with it? Should we defend ourselves because we are in the right? Should we perhaps accept the apology of one who apologizes? In fact, Imam Shafi'i rahimahumullah, one of the greatest imams of jurisprudence, he mentioned so beautifully. He says, if a person sincerely apologizes to somebody, and yet his apology is not accepted, then know that that person is the devil himself. This is the words of Imam Shafi'i rahimahumullah. So how was I supposed to react? What was I supposed to do? Was I supposed to overlook his or her faults? Especially at the time when I needed the support the most. Now when we glance at the life of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, friends, it tells us no matter how great the sin, no matter how grave the rumor and the allegations against you are leveled, there should always be a window. There should always be a window leading to reconciliation. There should always be a window of forgiveness. Regardless, if perhaps the fault is entirely the other person's, but we need this window opened all the time. Because it is only through the opening of this window that what will happen is that we can bring fresh air in our lives. What will also happen if we keep this window of reconciliation open? Inshallah, all the frustration and the anger that has built up in us will be released. Also, respected elders and brothers, at times it might be difficult to swallow that bitter pill. At times, it might be easier for us to move a mountain. It might be easier, like they say, to move a mountain than to forgive somebody. But we need to understand. We need to understand that this window that we keep open, this window of reconciliation, this window of forgiveness, This window of overlooking the faults of others is the very same window which has been promised to lead to the forgiveness and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Respected elders and brothers, the lesson of today is that today is the first of Sha'ban, a month generally where we speak about the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A month on the 15th where we generally speak of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclaims to humanity about His forgiveness. So perhaps let us start now. We are approaching the month of Ramadan. Let us try to remove this anger and this frustration that is built up in us. Let us try to reconcile with those perhaps who have hurt us, whom we have hurt in the process. And then inshallah, when the month of Ramadan approaches, let us try to take maximum spiritual benefit from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide one in our professor, inshaAllah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Respected elders and brothers, two important announcements. One is that inshaAllah on Sunday, we are honored to have a very distinguished guest, inshaAllah, who will be visiting our area, that is Greenside, by the name of Sheikh Ihsan Hendricks, who is the president of the MJC as well as the president of the Palestinian Solidarity Campaign. Very learned alim, very learned scholar, alhamdulillah. So he will be gracing us, inshallah, on Sunday, and just a few minutes after Asr Salah, inshallah, he will be rendering some advices. After the Asr Salah on Sunday, inshallah, Asr Jama'ah is at 4:30. Then also, inshallah, next week Friday, diarize this, next week Friday, that is the 31st of July, inshallah, we have a drug counselor who is the coordinator of the Magaliesburg Drug Rehabilitation Center, that is in Magaliesburg. He is the coordinator of this place, a very experienced person in this regard, who will be inshallah coming to address our community, and whoever wants to come inshallah, they are most welcome to. He will be firstly addressing the ladies at quarter past three at the Greenside High School, at quarter past three at the Greenside High School, inshallah. Then after Maghrib Salah on Friday next week, he will be addressing the men. Friends, we have taken and we have invited this person, as busy as he is, simply because we know the influence out there, we know the test, we know the dangers that are lurking for our youth out there. So we need to, prevention is better than cure, we need to know what is happening out there. Just recently a report had reached me that about 2 to 3 weeks ago, many youngsters unfortunately were caught with drugs, with substances in the Malaysia area, and 99% of those that were apprehended were our Muslim youngsters. Amongst them were also females. So perhaps we can sit back and say it's not going to happen in our society, we can sweep it under the carpet, or we can start taking preventative measures. And one of the ways, the first ways of taking these preventative measures is to educate ourselves, to have knowledge of what is happening out there, to know the signs and the symptoms of these things that are happening out there. So this brother, from his busy schedule, he has taken the time out to come and address us on this issue, inshallah, next week Friday. We humbly request brothers to pass the word around and try to attend this very important program. Jazakallah.